You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is Greg Buttle, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be the Buttle Show, but now it's the K. Show.
No, that was never the case. 2 o'clock in the big city. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg on the Michael K. Show. We're K-less for at least the first half of the show as the Yankees and Royals are finishing up their three-game set at the stadium. I'm not going to remind anybody of, you know, like the 76 League Championship Series, but it's important as the Yankees try to get 2 out of 3 against the Royals. Peter, how are you?
I am very good, Don. You know, I really enjoy a radio-exclusive vehicle.
Oh, it just changes everything, right? Like, I had to run, because I'm daddy daycare today. I got every family member that's got a kid under 17 in my house. So I took a shower like 5 minutes ago, and I'm running for a shirt, and I'm like, I don't really even have to put the shirt on.
No.
How great is this? But I did. I did, just out of respect for the rest of the family.
Well, and respect for the craft, and furthermore, respect for the New York Islanders as well.
Yeah, we're going to get right into that on the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. I think GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I'm sure you were engaged in it, Peter, you know, because that was a great Hawks-Bucks game, too, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But, you know, the Islanders facing elimination, and I got to be honest with you, I'm shocked that we're still talking about a possible Game 7 just because they were down 2-0. And, you know, they're down 2-0 in the game. And this Tampa Bay team doesn't blow leads. This Tampa Bay team doesn't lose when they score first. They were 11-1 going into last night's game when they scored first, and it was the exact opposite of what he wanted to see from the Islanders, and not scoring on the power play, give up the first goal of the game, give up the second goal of the game. And I'm watching that, Peter, and I'm like, this is over. Their season is coming to an end. And the Coliseum is quiet as a church mouse. I mean, they're shocked too, that, oh my God, our season's going to come to an end, and are we even going to score? Because at that point, Peter, it's 2-0 after Tampa scores the goal from Sorelia at 12:36. So we're more than halfway through the game. It's 2-0. The building's quiet. And at that particular point, they had allowed 12 consecutive goals. Think about that.
That's insane.
Right, so you go back to game four when they hung on and won game four. Pulak makes that save in the crease after they had a 3-0 lead going into the third period and had to hold on for the 3-2 win. All right, so that's 2 goals for Tampa in the third period in that game. Then game five, they win 8-0. That's 10 straight goals. Then they score the first 2 goals last night. So you're a team that's more than halfway through an elimination game at the Coliseum. The building is quiet like a library, because the fans are stunned. This team that we really felt had a chance to win the series and win the cup had given up 12 consecutive goals. So you're thinking, this is it. You're watching the end of a season. And I'm starting to formulate, Peter, because you're probably this way too. All right, how am I going to respond to this on the air the next day? Because I've championed the Islanders' cause. I believe this team can win a Stanley Cup. I picked them to win the series. What's my angle if this team ends up losing 2-0, Peter, getting outscored 12-0 in the final seven periods of the series? Oh, we're having that. Is this a failure of a season, or is it just a disappointment? Peter, that's going on in my mind at 2-0 midway through this game.
And then not only that, you have to think about what's going through the players' minds, because I say this to you a lot. The hockey playoffs in particular, more than any other playoff, in my opinion, momentum can make you feel like you have an impossible task. And when you talk about that many straight goals scored against you, and now a quiet building that's fearing elimination, you know, we talk about home ice advantage all the time. What about the home ice disadvantage when you're in a elimination game and it starts to look like it's all falling apart?
Yeah.
It starts to feel like this is impossible, and being at home at that point doesn't even feel like much of an advantage at all.
Right. Yeah, and you feel like you open the game up and the building's apoplectic and everybody's going crazy. Now you feel like, do we matter here? Because the Lightning aren't blinking, okay? They understood what was there. They're on the verge of going to the Stanley Cup Final back-to-back years, and they're up 2-0. And now this incredible energy has been sapped out of the building. Tampa's probably thinking to themselves, all right, we got this. We do a great job protecting leads. You know, we're going to win this game. And I know we live in a world of everything's hyperbolic, right? We try to make a big deal out about everything. All right. Since the Islanders won their last Stanley Cup, which is in 83, and the last time they were in the Stanley Cup final was 84, there's only been a handful of times where this team could even think about winning a cup. 93, they went to the conference final, lost to Montreal in five games, obviously went to the conference final last year. But they were down 3-1. They were down 3-0 to Montreal back in 93. So it's a 2-2 series. You think you've got a chance to win. You fall behind 3-2. You're down 2-0. That Eberle goal less than 2 minutes after Cirelli scored is the biggest goal the Islanders have scored in 40 years. Mm. Because he doesn't score that goal, Peter. The longer that goes 2-0, and if it goes into the second intermission 2-0, I think the Islanders are dead. But before the Lightning can even start to think about it's over, Eberle scores, and it's 2-1, and now you're back on. The building's electric again. You're back into it. Now it's a one-goal game. Now it just seems doable. That's how big I think that goal is, because now the team's one win away from going to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 37 years. So you've got to give me a goal that has to go back to like 84. So maybe like what, 37 years, whatever it is, the last time. That's how big this goal was. Peter, they're not winning down 2-0. They're not. But before Tampa, before their seats are warm, before you know you even get to a second or third shift after the goal, the Islanders come right, get back and score. The building's up for grabs. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, the
biggest goal in 37 years in Islander for the Islanders.
The difference between 2-0 and 2-1.
It's light and day.
And it's funny, you can't even really come up with the comparison. It's not quite the same as two touchdowns cutting cut to one touchdown, or a 10-point lead being cut to a 5-point lead in basketball. It's really unique to hockey that at 2-1, the game is completely up in the air. So what a monstrous goal to get done.
Monstrous goal. Because I've always felt that. I mean, I always, you know, you go back to that game 6 in 94, Devils and Rangers, and so much conversation about the Messier guarantee. The thing that got lost in the Messier guarantee is the Devils are up 2-0 late in the second period. Kovalev scores to make it 2-1 before the end of the second period. If he doesn't score that goal, I don't think Messier happens. That's the difference between 2-0 and 2-1. Because now you begin to believe. It's hard to believe, Peter, when you haven't done it. Right? If you get into a wild game where there's a bunch of goals, hey, you're down a goal. We've scored. We'll figure it out. But when you haven't scored, you know, since the second period of game 4, the team that you're going up against has scored 12 unanswered. You're just coming off an 8-0 lead. You got 15,000 people who are quiet sitting on their hands. What are you supposed to believe in? Because it hasn't happened yet. But now that Eberle scores, you now believe. Now we can beat Vasilevsky. Now we can score. And they get into the intermission 2-1. Mayfield scores midway through the third period, and then it just becomes, hey, who's going to blink first? And Coleman commits the turnover in overtime. Beauvillier, who hadn't scored since dinosaurs walked the earth, it feels like. scores the game-winning goal. And that's why I think you saw the reaction from the fans. I'm never going to condone throwing stuff on the ice, but I just think that there was just this outburst of, we won a game that we didn't dream an hour ago we had any chance of winning. And now there's a game seven. And now you believe, Peter, because the invincibility of Tampa now changes. Because you did come back from 2-0 down. You did win a game in this series when you didn't score for the first goal for the first time. Now it seems like it's doable that you could beat Tampa 2 in a row. It changed everything. The Eberle goal changed everything. And now here we sit 3-3 with a chance for this team to win tomorrow in a game seven. And that was just a pretty incredible. If you're an Islander fan, you're on cloud nine right now.
You want to hear the call of what it sounded like, Don?
Let's hear Chris King.
Bailey couldn't hold his own. Turnover in tight. Quick shot. They score!
The last portion of that call was like the equivalent of a dog whistle. Like you couldn't hear it, but I think dogs around the neighborhood heard it. Chris King does a fabulous job, and boy, he really just answered the call there with a tremendous call of the game winner from Beauvillier. Now you got him going, so things really change. And we're going to talk to Alan Hahn coming up at the bottom of the hour. Of course, he covered hockey for a long time for Newsday, grew up an Islander fan, loved to hear his perspective. He was in the building last night, so we'll get all that, but just an incredible game. And Peter, because you're well rounded in sports, meaning like you really enjoy everything. I mean,
I do.
Michael and I can't say that. Like you enjoy everything, and so you really, I think, can relate to this maybe better than anybody. There's nothing equivalent to an overtime goal of the four major sports, right? Because you build up everywhere else, right? In I guess a walk-off home run, but you realize that at the at-bat, you're watching it. It could happen here. A football, there's a drive. You're in sudden-death overtime. Basketball, the game-winning shot, but you know, hey, he's either going to make it or miss it. There's 1 second left. Here it is. You could be sitting there holding your breath that your goaltender had to make a big save 1 second, and in 3 seconds later, you win the game on the other side of the ice. It could happen like that. And I don't know if there's anything else in sports that
only
can equate to that emotion.
The only way to go is soccer. And soccer's different, too, because a 2-1 lead in soccer feels slightly more insurmountable than the 2-1 lead in hockey, in my opinion. Like, generating goals in soccer is so hard that it can feel impossible. But that's the only place you could go for an equivalent. And Don, how often have we seen in this NHL playoffs alone the game-ending goal in overtime come from a mistake defensively, trying to get the puck out of the zone?
Hey, you know, one of the greatest moments of my career was getting a chance to call game one of the Stanley Cup Final in 2014 between the Rangers and the Kings. And I'll never forget it. Of course, Justin Williams scores an overtime Kings win. Dave Maloney, as the overtime's going on, he says, this game is going to be won off a turnover. And it seems like it always happens in the playoffs. Somebody's going to make a mistake. Inevitably, somebody is going to not clear it. Somebody is going to break their stick. You know, something crazy is going to happen. And that's what takes place, because in soccer, because it's so low scoring and because the field is so big, you kind of see the goal coming, right? I mean, you now know, all right, something can happen here. They've come into the zone. They're close to scoring, so you kind of anticipate it. You're watching that game last night. Before you can even blink, the puck is on the Lightning stick. They're about to leave the zone. You can almost take a breath like, all right, the Lightning have it. And then the turnover, and before you can even comprehend that the puck has been turned over, it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, that's basically the two ways you see goals. Well, three ways you see goals in hockey. Number one, a breakaway. Number two, you can see the space starting to get created where an opportunity could exist. And then the third one, Don, is that you see the mistake with the team trying to get the puck out of the zone, and then it just happens so quickly. And the first goal by the Islanders is interesting, too, because when you think about the shots that goalies stop throughout a night, and then it's a backhand with not a lot on it, but just a lot of traffic in front of the net, and that gets you your first goal. You catch a lucky break there. It's really just a bunch of Lightning players in front of the net giving you a little distraction, so you get the first one, and then before you know it, we have magic in the Coliseum.
Now, the other thing before we get to your calls, we got a lot of them to get to, 1-800-919-3776, and of course we'll talk to Alan Hahn coming up at the bottom of the hour. He was in the building, covered the Islanders for years at Newsday, and a Long Islander, is the Kucherov injury. And in the first period, early in the game, Kucherov leaves and doesn't come back, and his status for Game 7 is up in the air. And we're not going to probably find out till warm-ups tomorrow whether he's going to be able to go or not, because you know how it is in the playoffs. They don't tell you anything. Coach isn't going to tell you the price of a hot dog if he's standing next to the sign. Right? It's not going to give you anything. But there's a lot being made about the Mayfield cross-check, but it looks like Kucherov had gotten hurt earlier in a hit on Barzell, and he kind of went awkwardly into Barzell on the boards, and then the cross-check may have finished Kucherov off. So if they end up not having him, Peter, for Game 7, he's only their best goal scorer. You know, that could also work to the advantage of the Islanders. So it's a game of momentum, and there's a lot of reason to believe. And you're thinking at 2-0 midway through the second period that it's over, and now it's not, and now it just becomes even more conceivable that, hey, maybe we can beat Tampa two times in a row, become the first team in 2 years to do that, and then go to the Stanley Cup Final. Great stuff. 1-800-919-3776. Let's start it off with Joe in Yonkers. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Huge fan. First time calling on here.
Thanks,
I was at the game last night. I've been going to the Coliseum since I'm 4 years old. I'm 34, so I'm a lifelong Islander fan, and they pretty much stunk my whole life. But I went to games when they were $6 a ticket, and now when they're packed out, and Don, you explained it to a T, man. We were pumped. Kucherov goes off. I'm like, okay, you know, we got something going. When we went down 2-0, it was just like, it was devastating. Like, there's no way we're going to end such a big season this way. But when Eberle scored, that was it. It changed everything. You hit it on the head. Every single person was standing up until the end of the second. And then when Barzy makes that play, he had two primary assists there. When he makes that play and freaking, he just, my God, he roofs it. That was it. We knew we were going to win. Like, we had the feeling. And the Beauvillier goal, I didn't even see it. Exactly like you said. We're in the zone. I'm like, all right, Tampa's coming out. And all of a sudden, we're just jumping. We don't know now we're jumping. We hear the goal horn. It was bananas, but thanks for taking my call, and I truly believe the stars are aligning, and I think we're going to make it to the finals.
We'll see, man. Will be right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. I'll be doing the special pregame as usual tomorrow, and now you believe. And now you believe that it can actually happen, and, yeah, it's really crazy. And Barzell was terrific last night. He really was, and he was buzzing all over the place, so you got him going. Beauvillier scores for the first time in a while. Braden Point scored again, by the way, Peter. 9 straight games with a goal. So, listen, Tampa's still really good, and they're defending Stanley Cup champions for a reason. So, that's still going to be some pretty heavy lifting in Game 7.
By the way,
but just doing what you did last night makes you believe.
Be remiss to not mention the beauty of the Mayfield goal, too.
That was terrific.
That was a gorgeous goal.
No, he's it's always the guys you least expect, right? That they can get it. It's a defenseman, pinches. And I wasn't in love, Peter, with either of the two regulation goals that Vasilevsky gave up. I mean, as you said, that was a kind of no big deal backhand by Eberle. And it almost – Vasilevsky on that goal, like I think he believed he had it covered. Like, all right, I've got the post. Yeah, I dare you to shoot it over my shoulder. And Mayfield did. Like, so he didn't really cut the angle. I thought he could have played that a lot better, too. So Vasilevsky, who I think is the best goaltender in the NHL, showed some cracks yesterday as well. So that's something that maybe could bode well for the Islanders tomorrow.
God. Oh, God, that overtime winner, to our last caller's point, it just happens so quick.
It is so – that's what makes overtime hockey so crazy. You can't – like, I can watch baseball. I can probably pretty much watch any sport and, like, have one eye on the computer or have a conversation with my wife or whatever, and then you kind of – there's something that happens, you kind of look up. You can blink and miss it. So that's why it's so
It's actually the best sport to watch alone for that reason. you can't really have a lot of conversation because the entire game is these moments of thinking, oh, that's the entire game. Oh!
You can't look away. And that's why overtime hockey is just so tremendous. I'd love to be able to see what the numbers were last night and the New York numbers too, because you're going up against a pretty good Yankee game, and we'll get into that. Yankees melting down at the end, then winning, and the Mets finally getting some offense going, and a really compelling basketball game too. Hawks and the Bucks as Atlanta draws first blood. I mean, it's really just unbelievable.
They said it last night on the broadcast, and they were so right, by the way, and we'll get to it later. But, I mean, Trae Young is now not a star. We already knew he was a star. This playoffs has made Trae Young an absolute superstar.
Yeah, people getting a little kooky saying that he's, you know, better than Curry, but we'll get into that, too, a little bit later on. Let's go to Slick in New York. You're on ESPN. What's up, Eddie?
What's going on, guys? I am just stoked that Michael is not on the call right now, because I feel like he would just be focusing on the beers being thrown, you know, narcomaniac. But to get to my point, it really, last night really felt like we were down and out. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie War of the Worlds, 2006, sure, with Tom Cruise. It's like they have these aliens come down, right? They're impenetrable. They have these shields. Then they point up and they show the birds are on the aliens. And they're like, they take out the aliens. That was like drawing blood on Vasilevsky. All of a sudden, the gates opened up and you pour three on them. I think you take this momentum into Tampa Bay. I think it's clear that the Islanders really perform in front of a good crowd. I think the crowd is kind of their extra man on the ice. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I felt like Tampa's crowd has been dead even when they're winning. So I don't know if that's going to act as a hindrance, but I think they could take this momentum and drive themselves into the Stanley Cups, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be a terrific game tomorrow. I've called games in that building. I've been in that building many times. It's very cavernous. It's very big. They got great fans there. They do. And they support the team very well. But it just does not have the atmosphere that you get for the Islanders and the Coliseum. Coliseum's got that low roof, right? Everybody's kind of packed in like sardines. It's a little bit of a different feel than you get certainly in Tampa Bay. Let's go to Mike in Franklin Square. You're on ESPN New York.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Donnie, you said it perfect before, like, you can't believe it until it actually happens. Like the other caller mentioned, like, getting tickets for, like, $6. I remember going to high school. They had, like, blood drives. You could just donate blood and get free tickets. And to see where they are now, like, I almost cried last night. They're a grown man crying over a freaking team. Like, it's just, it's beautiful. I love it.
And you know what? There's something, too, and we'll get into this later as well, and I'd love to get Peter's thoughts on this, and Alan Hahn, who's coming up as well. And, Mike, thank you for the phone call. This is a if they were to play well Friday and lose, that's a completely different feel about the series and the season that if they had gone down 2-0 and lost that game last night. Completely different feel. Because it would almost be like, oh, my God, we lose two straight games to close the series, get outscored 12-0. Like, you almost feel like, do we even belong? But to come back the way they did – and getting to a game seven, and if you play well and, say, lose in overtime, completely different feel than if you went out last night. Still didn't make it to the final, but I really think that forcing the game seven, accomplishing what they did last night, makes you really feel like
now, does that get ruined?
Happened here.
Does that get ruined if you were to go to Tampa and just get blown out?
Yeah, probably. But I think the days of them getting blown out are over. I'd be shocked if they got blown out. I think that was just an aberration that they learned from. And the reason that the 2-0 lead became an 8-0 loss in game five and didn't happen the other night is because they did learn from it. And that's an exceptionally well-coached team, and that's not going to happen again. I'd be shocked if it did. We'll talk to Alan Hahn. He was in the building. Get his thoughts on everything. Islanders, more of your calls coming up a little bit later on. We'll get into the Mets. We'll get into the Yankees. We'll get into the NBA. It's all on the table for you. It's Don and Peter on a K-less Michael K show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So the Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the Royals, and Michael will join us momentarily. Last night was really interesting because they did win. Great come from behind, down 5-4 in the 9th inning. Sanchez home run, Voit game-winning hit. But still, I think there's an issue right now with Chapman. He just could not find the strike zone. He does not seem to be the same pitcher. And this is what we get into with the stupid spider tech, Peter, and checking pitchers. This coincided with that, where now he doesn't seem to be the same pitcher. So, listen, Yankee fans are never happy. But, like, last night's win didn't feel great because of how it came by, you know, having your closer not be able to get the job done, not be able to hold on to a lead. But they bounced back today, and Tyone was good. Through 96 pitches, gets the win. They take 2 out of 3 from Kansas City. So, be interested to hear Michael's perspective on what's happened to this Bomber team over the last 24 hours.
I was going to say something to make you feel like I cared what the Yankees did over the last 24 hours, but I just had an epiphany, Don.
What's that?
I'm just going to live in honesty. I don't care what they did in the last day. There's so much that happened in sports. And what's going to be the outcome of what the Yankees did? Well, tell me, how are the fans going to be any different than any other day?
Well, see, I'm glad you said that, and I want Michael to be a part of this conversation.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1980.
Yeah, and I understand that they're a different franchise than everybody else because they've won at an incredible clip, and so there's a different standard than any other team, any of the other teams in the New York metropolitan area. But part of what this Islander thing has been good is the joy you're hearing from fans and the joy you heard from the Knicks fan that their team was in the playoffs and doing well. And I know a lot of that comes from we've stunk for a long time, and the Yankees haven't stunk for a long time. But the constant complaining, you're right, I don't know what to think. I mean, I watch the Yankees play, and like you said, you do a talk show in your head. How are we going to analyze this? And all it's going to be is win, lose, whatever, come from behind, win, dramatic. Like, yeah, win 8-1 this afternoon, you know, win where they're going away, or win in come from behind fashion. They'll find something to criticize. Anthony, what was the tweet? When Stanton was knocking the ball all over the place, what was the tweet that you read to me during commercial break like an hour ago?
Yeah, he's still going too. He said, I think it was the ground ball in the sixth inning. That was to the third baseman. If G. Stanton can't run that well, then he shouldn't be playing. If he ran to first a little harder, he would have beat the throw since it came in high.
Yeah, so just finding things to complain about. There's no joy at all. No joy in Mudville when it comes to the Yankees at all. And then if they do win a championship, Peter, and go on a run, it'll be, oh, we'll go win us another one. And you don't feel that appreciation, Michael. And the other thing, too, about, like, all these Yankee fans who do nothing but complain, you would think you'd get some fans that would, like, have some pushback. No! You don't get it. So, to catch you up, Michael, Yankees win 8-1. They two completely different wins. A weird one last night where they blow a lead and then they come back and win. Win runaway fashion, and yet doesn't seem to be a lot of appreciation around what they're doing. And there's always that feeling like, well, no matter what they do, the fans are going to complain and wake me up in October. And that kind of stinks, especially when you have another fan base that's like reveling in how good their team is.
Well, the Yankees now, with this win, have won 7 of their last 9 games. They keep winning series. They've shaved, you know, 4.5 games off a 9-game deficit. And it's interesting. It's an interesting team that they're running out there right now. So I will look back. If the Yankees end up making the playoffs and make some noise in the playoffs, Don and Peter, what I will look back at is the 9th inning last night. That Gary Sanchez home run changes the whole way this series is looked at. Because if he doesn't hit that home run and they end up losing that game, and you lose at least 2 out of 3 to the Kansas City Royals, you're going into Boston feeling lousy about yourself. But he hits that home run. Stanton then gets a single. Wade pinch runs. He moves to second. Voit with the double up the top of the wall. That wins the game. And just a different feeling coming into today where they win 8-1. Jameson Taillon tied his season high with 6 3rd innings. And things are going well now. Now, the one misstep the Yankees have had of late was the Red Sox series where they got swept. So what's different this time than that time? So they go into Fenway. And the thing that's different, and David Cohn talked about it today on the air, he calls it the gauntlet at the top of the lineup. And the gauntlet is this: LeMahieu, Judge, Sanchez, Stanton, and Voit. That is a hard lane for managers and pitchers to sit back and actually navigate. I mean, there's a lot of potential bad spots for anybody that's trying to get people out. So if those 5 guys are healthy, the bottom line is they're going to be hard to get out. I mean, to shut them down with those five guys healthy, and what they're doing also is they're hitting home runs again. So Judge hit a home run. Boyd hit a home run. Sanchez hit a home run today, a three-run shot. And I've said this over and over. When they hit home runs, they win. When they don't hit home runs, they have a hard time winning. So they're starting to hit the ball out of the ballpark a lot. And, Yankee fans expect championships. I get it. I mean, you could have the same conversation all the time. And Met fans expect injuries and the other shoe to drop. So you've got kind of a PTSD baseball fanship in New York City, and you have to live with it. I'm sure there are a lot of Yankee fans that feel good about the way they're playing right now. They just went 4-2 on this homestand, and now they go to Boston for three games and then come back for a week that I'm really looking forward to. You've got four games against the Angels, and Ohtani's going to either pitch Tuesday or Wednesday, and then you've got three games against the Mets in the Subway Series, and lined up for Friday in case there's a change, or unless there's a change, is Cole against DeGrom. So I'm signed up for that, Don. I'm pumped up. I mean, if fans aren't yet engaged, okay, that's fine. They don't have to be engaged. I'm engaged because I think there's been a jolt of energy with this team now.
Well, I think they're engaged. They're watching. They're interested. I just wish they'd appreciate it. Instead of, you know, it's. I understand you have to dissect the championship, but it's difficult to do in baseball in June, okay? Like Peter was saying, what does it all mean? Like you just said, yeah, but you'd have a different feel if they lost 2 out of 3 to Kansas City as opposed to winning 2 out of 3. But, you know, what they do in Boston is going to be the ultimate decider. You get swept, you get swept.
Right.
You know, and you win 3 in a row against Boston, it'll be, okay, well, show me something else. I just wish that you can get excited about things that you can legitimately get excited about. And it's just this feeling like no matter what they do, they can't answer the bell until they get to October. So anything, any winning, so what? You're supposed to do that. Any losing, oh, my God, how are you losing? You're supposed to win. And it kind of stinks from a sports talk show perspective, right? I mean, you'd like to live a little bit in the moment, no?
You would think.
And it's weird with this team. It like any other. It's just weird. And I understand we're the Yankees and we win. Okay, but, you know, still, I think you can enjoy other things, and I think you can kind of – you know, live with the team a little bit and appreciate a 3-for-3 performance from Judge today with a home run instead of harping on 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts yesterday. You know, so it's a weird team. I don't know if there's any other comparable. Certainly no other team in this market can stick out their chest with all the championships that they have and be judged differently than any other franchise in sports.
Well, the interesting thing about Judge, you know, you mentioned is 3-for-3, single, double, home run, 2 runs scored, a couple of ribbies, 2 walks. Coming into this game, his last 10 games, he was 9-for-44, and he had struck out 22 of the 44 times. So he needed a game like this, started off with a home run over the short porch and right, and they didn't look back. They did not look back. They looked good today, and, you know, this is not a great Kansas City Royal team, but they did win game one, and they almost won game two. So these things can happen. This is a Yankee team that got swept by the Detroit Tigers. Also, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, said we're 1 day closer to the black jerseys. Now, you're not happy about that, right?
No, I'm disgusted.
Why?
I hate them.
Why do other fans like it so much?
Well, good, because other fans like them. Some people like vanilla, some like chocolate. I hate them. Black is not a part of their history. It's not a part of their colors. And it also came at a time in the 90s where everybody felt like they had to put black in their uniform. It just, it's stupid. I like purple. Purple's a nice color. Why don't you have a purple uniform? Now, why? You don't have purple because purple's not part of their logo. It's not part of their colors. It's not part of their tradition or history. You know, I don't care for it at all.
Wow, you're very angry.
Well, I hate them.
So you're not angry, you're hateful.
Yeah, that's...
No, and for people to be excited about it, they disgust me. I'm disgusted by it.
Not excited. They've been pressuring the man who bought the team to bring them back.
I don't get it. I know it's about preference, but my argument would be, what preference? Like I said, there's a lot of other colors that I like. I like red, I like purple. But that's not a part of their history. And I wish there would be some tradition. I really love the blue that they wear. I really love their uniforms. I've always have. And I wish there'd be some tradition to it. Michael, what's your? Do you like certain colors? I'm sure you're a fan of other colors.
I love blue.
All right. So what if the Yankees just decided they were going to have a lighter blue?
I don't think I'd like it.
And just we're gonna go with that. You like that color, but it's not part of the Yankees tradition. It's not a part of what they do. It's that Jerry Glanville era, right? Where we got to go with black because it intimidates the opponent, and everybody was going with the black. It's not even a color; a shade is what it is, and we're going to put that into our uniform. And I just think it's bogus. I think it's lazy, and I'd like somebody to explain to me. I don't care how sharp, like Ryan Hurley, our programmer. I think it looks sharp, great, but
yeah, I'm not into it.
It's not their colors, Peter.
Can you do me a favor, then, Don? This is a true request, and we can make it out to be a thing on the show. Please tell Steve Cohen in a tweet what you just said to us.
Yes.
See if he answers you. Say, maybe. I'm Don LaGreca. I'm one of the hosts of a top-rated talk show in New York on ESPN New York.
If he has to explain, then you know what? It doesn't matter.
No. You don't know what Cohen knows. I mean, you want to present yourself as you're not just some yo-yo.
I'm not gonna sit there and have an introductory press conference.
Yeah, he can't
I've been
do
in this
that.
Business 25 years. If he doesn't know me, he doesn't know
I'm
me.
With
okay,
him.
All right.
All I'm
going to
say
right,
is, hey, it's
right,
Don LaGreca from
do
the
– that. Hey. Then just send a – why are you listening to fans? These are terrible uniforms. I want to see if you will do that.
What I'll do is I'll just say, hey, Steve, this is Don LaGreca from the Michael Kay Show. I think that's fine. I don't have to throw out my resume there and beg him to like me.
Okay, that's
all
fair.
Right? He probably gets a lot of tweets, so I want to have the mind stand out, but
yep,
that should
yep.
be enough.
That's fair. And what are you going to say? Let's work the tweet
let's
out because it's
let's
important.
First of all, I'm trying to – so is at Steve
– Steve A. Cohen. Stephen A. Cohen.
And that's with a V, not a P-H, right?
Oh, our Stephen A. is with a P-H.
There it is. Okay.
P. Hey, Steve. Oh, by the way, ESPN Cohen. Announced the hiring of Mark Messier as an analyst for next season.
That's right.
And speaking of things like that, did you hear about the current bidding war that's going on reportedly for
LaGreca?
No, I wish.
Yeah, sure.
No, for the next ESPN or Fox talent?
No.
RG3.
Yeah, I don't get it.
He supposedly had an audition that like blew people away, and now ESPN and Fox are fighting over him. And it's a matter, but they don't know yet if he's going to try to make a team next year.
Wow,
I didn't know that line would take us
off the air.
If you blew
away the audition, Michael, what are you going to do?
I guess that's it. Yeah, I if he blew away the audition, you're right. All right, so let's get back to the tweet.
All right, well, I was stalling for Don for a second, but here we go.
And by the way, a really important question. Have you done this day in Yankee history yet?
Of course we have.
Okay, good. Very good. All right, go for it, Don. Or do you want – should we take a break and then you'll compose?
Yeah, you know, I'm writing now.
Okay.
And then when we come back from break, I will read you before I hit send what I have and if you want it tweaked or anything else like
no,
that.
No. These are your words. So I think our fans and our listeners should know exactly what you're being sending out there to the owner of the Mets – because you feel very strongly about this. The only reason I brought it up, because you hate black uniforms. You hate it. You hate it with a passion. You don't think there's any connection to the Mets history.
I don't hate the Raiders. If it's a part of your tradition, like
right.
The Raiders wear black, that's fine.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. I'm trying to set it up.
Right. Do you know the difference between the Raiders and the Mets, Michael?
One's a football team. One plays in Vegas. One plays in New York.
That's right. Very good job.
All right, so we'll come back and see what Don LaGreca has composed, because it's got to be a very careful composition. This is a very rich man. This is the owner of the Mets. He's usually not spoken down to, I'm sure, because he's got billions of dollars. It's going to be
who
interesting
cares?
To see.
Money
how
doesn't
Don
change
composes.
Anything.
Money changes everything. Don't
Fix
be silly
that!
And naive.
No, they're we're all equal.
Okay, I'll play along. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Yankees 8-1 winners over the Royals. They take 2 out of 3 now. They head to Boston for a short 3-game road trip to Fenway Park, then head back to New York City, where they'll have 4 against the Angels and 3 against the New York Mets. Don is in the middle of composing a tweet to the 14 billionaire owner of the Mets, Steve Cohen, who is listening to a section of Met fans that desperately want black uniforms back. Don has long hated the black uniform because he doesn't think it has any connection whatsoever to the Mets or the Mets' history, certainly something that we can all understand. So now Don is composing a tweet to send out to Steve Cohen, and now we pick it up at this point in the movie.
All right, tell me what you think about this. Because, again, I only have, what is it, 140 characters?
Mm-hmm. No, 280 now.
240, whatever it is. Well,
I've got
three left.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Music, please. Well, that's a good question. I don't know what music I actually want. Is it emotional, Don?
Well, it is to me.
All right.
Hey, Steve Cohen, it's Don LaGreca from the Michael Kay Show. I've heard that you're bringing back the black jerseys. I don't get it. The Mets' traditional uniforms are gorgeous and honor the blue and the orange of the National League teams they replaced. Black means nothing but a 90s money grab. That's all I could fit.
That's the whole thing?
That's all I could fit.
All right. Okay, calm down.
I don't know
if you should go with money grab. He's not doing it for the money. He's got more money than anybody.
No. Black means nothing but a 90s money grab. It was a money grab then.
Oh.
Right? That's why I brought 90s up, because that's why they brought it in, Michael. That's why all these teams have the third jerseys and the alternate jerseys and the throwback jerseys and all that. Most of it's just to get people to buy another jersey. But they have these gorgeous jerseys that represent the colors of the New York flag, represent the Giants and the Dodgers who they replaced. And they're beautiful jerseys, traditional jerseys, and that's their colors. And you decided to throw black in because you thought it looked cool and you'd be able to make some money off of it. That's why they did it back in the 90s. Now, the Mets were good, 99, 2000. I think that's why the fans gravitate, because a lot of Met fans are a certain age where that's the best. That's what they remember. That's probably how they became fans. That's why they love it. But if you really think about it, that's not the Mets. It just takes you back to the old 90s money grab. That's why I mentioned that. He doesn't need the money.
Now, let me ask you a question, Peter. Can you guide Don through how you could stack tweets so he can go over 280 and really explain to Steve why he doesn't like it?
Yeah, you want me to explain to him how to do a thread?
Yeah, do a thread.
You didn't send that one yet, Don?
No.
Are you doing this on your computer or your phone?
My computer.
All right. Now, after you have your initial tweet up there,
mm-hmm.
Do you see next to where it says tweet? Do you see the little plus sign?
No, I just see tweet. Oh, yeah, there's a plus sign there. I see it.
Hit the plus sign.
Oh, this is big.
There you go,
it's
Don.
So big.
You know what? I didn't know what that was. This is
a
whole new world.
A whole new world.
Oh, man. Now, here's the thing. You want to get this read. Like, you want him to read this.
Yes.
That's right.
That's why I didn't want to have, like, those ones or like, screenshotted where it's, like, a 10-page letter. I don't want him looking and go, oh, my God, when's this end? I want something.
And at
something
the end of the last tweet, maybe say, if you'd like to come on the show and discuss it, you're always invited.
But do you like what I have so far, or do you think the black means nothing but a money grab will offend him, thinking that he's...
I don't think you should put the money grab. Black means nothing since it doesn't have any kind of connection to Met history. It doesn't make sense. It was only done in the past to sell jersey. Don't say money grab to a guy who grabs money for a living.
Oh, no. But how do I...
That was a lot of words you just used there. That was a lot of... And by the way, I like that Michael's going under the assumption that because he's so rich, he wouldn't do something for a money grab. How do you think rich people get so rich? Continuous money
grab. I don't
think
he has to sell like $30,000 worth of jerseys. I'm sorry. I'm taking a leap of faith here.
I know, but why do all these teams that are so rich raise the prices on everything every year?
I don't know.
They're bad guys. I've told you that.
You don't think there's any good billionaire guys?
Not really, except for Hove. He's a great guy.
But you're good with... I'll eliminate the money grab part.
Just say it was an attempt in the old days to just sell jerseys, and then you could, you know, a sideway compliment, something that you certainly don't need to do.
Oh, yeah, see, because that's what I'm thinking, too, about, like, that was a Wilpons money grab back in the day. This is a new era. You're a new owner. Don't go – yeah, I'm on this.
Now, do you like when the Giants wear their red jerseys? Now, there's some history there, though.
I mean, they did it once. Again, red is part of their color, but I didn't really care for that.
Okay.
But at least they're – I don't mind – and Harvey loved them, if you remember.
Yep.
The orange jersey. Because, again, orange is their color. So if every once in a while you want to kind of change it up, I get that. I mean, again, I'm not a fan. The one thing I love and respect about the Yankees, they don't change their uniforms instead of the ill-conceived, goofy players weekend. But because there's a tradition there to it. But if you want to play around with the colors or whatever, you don't think it's an absolute disgrace that there's like a billion different Arizona Diamondback jerseys? They have a nice traditional jersey. Let's
go to Anthony in Staten Island, because Don, he thinks you're completely wrong. Anthony.
Hi, Anthony here in Staten Island. 100%, Don.
100% what?
100% Don's wrong.
How come?
Well, how can preference be wrong?
If you're a baseball fan and you know baseball history, the Dodgers colors were blue with white trim, right?
Okay.
The baseball Giants colors were black with orange trim.
That is
so
true.
When they replaced the Dodgers and the Giants with the Mets, they went with the orange and the blue. But to say black's not part of the history, that's wrong.
It's not.
Black was there. Was the
it's not
Giants
part of their
color.
History. It's not part of their history, okay?
Okay,
they went with the interlocking NY for the Giants and the orange and the blue of the Dodgers. No, notice, hey, the Dodgers have had red, you know, in their numbers for the longest time. They didn't incorporate red. It's just that they decided when they put the logo together, we're going to have blue, we're going to have orange. Blue for the Dodgers, orange for the Giants, because we're trying to win those fans over, and we're going to have the NY like the Giants had. They didn't put in the black. It's part of their history.
So what about when they started, they had the white uniforms like the Dodgers, but then they went with the pinstripes. Where were the pinstripes part of the history? Because the Dodgers and the Giants didn't have pinstripes.
Because they made their own. Why do you keep going back to the history of the Dodgers and the Giants? They decided when they started, and they had pinstripes from the get-go. Okay?
I didn't go with it, though. They didn't have pinstripes from the get-go. It shows you don't know anything about baseball history. But you're the one that keeps bringing up history, talking about the history.
Because when they put the logo together, they said we're going to have blue for the Dodgers, orange for the Giants. And that became their history.
But you were saying because of the history of the Giants. Black is such a Giants color. As a matter of fact, in the early 1900s,
but that's not the Mets
history.
But that's not the point.
That's not the Mets' history.
That's not the Mets' history. They're honoring the Dodgers and the Giants by incorporating. They didn't put black in when they started in 1962. They didn't put in black.
No, but they incorporated it later on down the road. It doesn't mean that it's
they incorporated, and I didn't like the fact that they did it. And that's a preference.
You
can like it. I don't like it, but I don't know why. Black has nothing to do with their history.
So, Anthony, let me ask you a question. You like the black jerseys? But not their history,
maybe.
Anthony. So they did choose what they want to take from the Giants and the Dodgers, and it was the blue and the orange. But my question to you, Anthony, you like the black jerseys then?
I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Yankee fan first and foremost. I'm not a Mets fan. I don't hate the Mets, but to me, whatever they do, it really doesn't matter. But I am a baseball history fan, and to say that it doesn't really incorporate any of the history of the Giants is wrong.
No, the history of the Mets, not the Giants.
And they had pinstripes from the get-go. When did they ever have solid white in their first year?
1916, when they first started. The first year the Mets started, they didn't have pinstripes. It was solid white.
No, I don't think so. I do not believe so. In every picture I've ever seen, I have the 62 media guide right there. They were wearing pinstripes.
Okay.
Oh. But when I said, you don't know anything about baseball history, lose this clown. Lose him. Because we can have a nice little dialogue about preference. And he said, no, they didn't have pinstripes to start. They had solid white. And I go, Michael, am I wrong? Every picture I ever saw the 62 Mets, I've got the yearbook right here.
Pinstripe. I remember them having pinstripes.
But then when I said that, you don't know anything about the history of baseball. No, you don't know anything about the history of baseball, clown.
I love it.
You want to have a nice friendly dialogue, and you tried to come on and educate me about baseball, and you lost. So you better come to play, brother. Not today, brother. How about that one, Peter? How about that one? Not today, brother.
Can you also do the Alan Sherman thing again?
Hello, mother. Hello, father. I am here at Camp Granada.
Ba 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 ba. Blah 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 blah.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I'm giddy right now because they get on the air and they sit on hold. I am going to make Don LaGreca look like a clown shoe, and I'm going to tell him he doesn't know anything about baseball because I know more than him, and I'm older than him. Loser, because you sat on hold and you said I didn't know anything about baseball, and you were wrong, and I love it. You know what this is? That's what I feel about it. Lay it right down there on the table. You came at me and you lost. Good luck. Come to me and educate yourself and then sit on hold. And then you come on and you can beat me if you come prepared. But if you're not prepared, that's what happens to you. Squashed like a melon. You don't know anything about baseball. You don't know the history of baseball.
All right, Michael,
let's not.
Yeah.
Do you know how positive of an effect you have on this program?
No, I don't. Tell me.
Michael, Don has been calm the entire day. All we did was talk through the Islanders, had a nice hockey conversation, perfect for you to miss. We had a great, great day. Just chatting it up, though. Nice show. You show up. You immediately have him writing public letters to attack team owners. And 5 minutes later, he's ready to fist fight some guy who calls
you
up about
understand.
The jersey.
You don't understand. Because
I love it. I love it.
He specifically came on to embarrass me.
Came at you.
And failed. You know how much that makes me feel great? This isn't a rant of anger. It's a rant of just pure, unadulterated joy that this older, elderly, single man called up and said he knew more baseball than me and shot down.
What'd you do to him? You took him out.
Took him out.
All right.
He's just this a general nice man, older baseball fan, single, living with his mom, just happened to call.
You didn't.
And tried to embarrass me and failed.
Bad.
All right, let's towel off.
Well, we should towel off
o'clock.
Here.
Yeah, let's towel. This is definitely, don't you agree, Peter, a towel off.
No, this
event.
Is time when you towel off. You have to because a lot just happened.
That.
Okay,
there's a lot to unpack. He still has to finish that tweet to Steve Cohen. We have a lot on our plate. We really do. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes, and not on Yes yet, but after the postgame. But we are on 98.7 ESPN.
That's all I can fit.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So much to unpack. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana, Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Now, what we're working on here on the show, Steve Cohen, the Met owner, who's very active on Twitter, said, I will tell you this, we're a couple of days away from getting the black uniforms back, and I knew that that would rile Donnie up. Don does not like the black uniforms. He doesn't see the history of the Mets in the black uniforms. So we're trying to compose a tweet to Steve Cohen, and Don's in the process of doing that. We've learned how to do threads now from Peter. And Don, I think that one thing that you left out previously is this. You've got to say, you know, on the Michael K. Show or ESPN Radio, whatever you want to put in, and a lifelong Met fan. So don't just make it seem like you're just a member of the media in this case. You're a lifelong Met fan that's reaching out to him because you think that there's an injustice that's being done, that he's being hoodwinked by young Met fans who want black uniforms, and black uniforms are not the history of the Mets. We never, there's not a picture out there of Casey Stengel or Marvelous Marv Cronberry in a black uniform.
Can I offer one thing, and you guys can tell me I'm a fool and shut up? Is it not history to if for kids out there who picture Mike Piazza in the black uniform?
No, that's true.
It's recent history, but that's history.
But Don hated that too.
But my point is, Don hated it because at the time it was like, what is this for? Why it's not part of their history? But you could argue that now that era is part of their history.
They did play the World Series with a black.
That's
right.
I think that's like, and I think that's why a lot of fans want to go back to that because, yeah, it's their first memory of the team. But I didn't like it. I don't want to have to revisit it because now you're just being like everybody else.
So you're saying to Met fans that want the black jersey, you're saying this:
you were wrong, and I love it. No, again, it's about preference, right? They prefer
right
it
down there on the table.
But what I'm saying is, I feel like I have a little bit on my side of why throw in a shade that isn't a part of the colors of your team. But there's a lot of people that like black. The intimidation of that.
Well, let's see what some fans think. One fan thinks that you're a lunatic and hates you.
Oh, but just wait one second.
Yeah.
Because I never turned my yes camera on.
Well, don't worry. We're not on yes. Right now it's Giancarlo Stanton, who looks great in a sleeveless tee after the Yankees won 8-1 over the Royals.
Stanton picked up
three hits.
I just turned on yes and saw Ryan. We need to get him a hamburger.
You think he's too thin?
He's very thin.
Really? Sorry, I don't think that. So.
Maybe I'm just jealous I'm fat, but he looks very thin.
I don't think he looks thin at all. He looks
he looks thin at all?
Who's this?
I mean, he looks good. He doesn't look thin.
Who's this?
Ryan.
He thinks that Rucco looks too thin.
He does.
Thank you, Don.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? None of us have ever been...
more weight in a couple of weeks when the baby comes. You don't eat. You don't sleep.
All the more reason.
Well, we'll have to get him on after the show. After he gets off the postgame show, we'll pop him on and tell him how you feel about him.
Well, it's not. Listen, you can text. I'll text him. I'll say, "Hey, grab a meal."
Let's go to Casey in Queens. Casey.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
Listen, Don, I'd like to thank you, as someone who agrees with you, for sticking up the portion of Mets fans that cannot stand the black jersey. And I should love the black jersey. I was 15 years old in the Subway Series. I should love it. I hated it back then, and I hate it now. It makes no sense. There, you can't find black anywhere in the logo, in the jersey, on the pant leg, anywhere. It's not part of the color scheme. So what is the fascination with this black jersey? Steve Cohen needs to take a stand against these young Twitter warriors and let it go. We have a top five jersey in baseball. Oof. Why do we need to change it?
I don't know about that.
It's a great jersey, Peter. Stop.
Which one?
Their pinstripe jersey is a gorgeous jersey.
Oh, no,
gorgeous.
No, it's not.
It's top five, Peter. What are you talking about?
No, no. I'm sorry.
No?
You're wrong. Peter, you're wrong. You couldn't be more wrong.
For the record, I'm a yo-yo. I don't know anything about sports. I just stumbled into this job off the street. But even Don will sit here and tell you, there's one thing I do know about. It's jerseys. I've been collecting them my whole life.
Jersey. There's nothing better than that.
Oh, no, no.
It's all about preference, whatever.
Of course.
I just love that blue. And I just remember as a kid when that team was awful. Okay, when I started rooting for the Mets, that was in the mid-70s. They were terrible, and I just love how that blue popped in the sun of a Sunday afternoon and the jets out from LaGuardia flying over Shea Stadium. And I just love that it didn't change. They made little subtle changes from the script to the block letters and the road jerseys and all that. And I got to live with some of that. But all that black jersey represents, see, fans think it represents, oh, we went to the playoffs in 99 and 2000 and we almost won a championship. It just it was that 90s time where it was just a Wilpons money grab.
Now, let me
that's what
you
I have
this,
here.
Don.
The black jerseys represent a Wilpons money grab, not what the team is about anymore.
Let me ask you this. I think that this puts, now correct me if I'm wrong, this puts Howie Rose in a terrible situation. Because Howie hates the black jerseys, right? From what I remember? Hates them.
Hates them.
Now there's a new owner of the team. Is he going to say that was absolutely wrong to have those black jerseys? Well, is he going to stay? I would not want to be put in that situation.
Howie is very safe.
He's very safe, and he has been on the air like saying, I hope that this doesn't happen. So I think Howie's safe, and I think Howie is fair, where I don't think he'd get any trouble saying, I don't like this. Now, I don't think he's going to sit there and just bash it constantly throughout the entire game. But I think he will still show that, because he's like me. He's older than me, so he goes back to when the team actually started. But it's the same thing. Now, he's just like everybody else. Michael, did it drive you crazy with the Knicks jersey? The Knicks have a tremendous, gorgeous, represented from the New York flag.
I truly believe that's why they lost in the playoffs to the Hawks. They never wore their real uniform. It was a disgrace. They won that with the pinwheel on it. Looked ridiculous, like clowns. Like some pro rec league, disgraceful. That's why they lost. Not because they were outplayed. The vibe and the karma from those ugly.
How about this? And I'm not trying to start a fight. This is not some attack to make Don yell at me or anything. I think the pinstripe Mets jersey is the worst of the Mets jerseys.
I don't.
I think the pinstripe jersey looks like, I don't know. I can't believe someone would say that's a top five baseball jersey. I like their regular blue more than I like the pinstripe.
Shining Wizards Kevin has put together his top five nicer jerseys in the Mets.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Dodgers,
I'll tell you if I agree.
Reds, White Sox, Yankees, and Cardinals. White Sox jersey.
Not White Sox. Everything but White Sox. I agree with him. But there's
Cardinal
a lot
jersey is beautiful. Dodger jersey is beautiful. Yankee jersey, classic.
But let's be honest. Everyone overrates the Yankee jersey.
No, you're wrong. And I'll fight you on this.
Let's just be honest.
The city is open right now. Now York, the whole deal. After the show at 6:30, I will drive down to your neighborhood, and I will beat you up if you have the nerve to actually disparage the Yankee pinstripe.
I'm not saying
it's not.
Dear God,
just try it. It was so fabulous to drop you.
I'm not saying it's not classic. It's actually the most classic. But it's not a top five good-looking jersey.
Oh, you know what?
And you know what? If
you're
Don
so wrong.
Don could tell you the truth. He knows I'm right. Classic, yes.
Well,
not top five.
Again, we're getting into
not
preference.
Not today,
classic,
brother!
But it's not a color that pops. It's so navy blue, it almost comes across as it's just black and white.
By the way, we're back on yes, so welcome back, yes.
Yeah, so, but again, we're getting into preferences, and I get people like, but again, I love that it's a tradition. And you don't have to get into all this garbage.
Hello,
just,
friends.
Oh, you got to go get the black jersey and get this jersey and get that jersey. I like the jersey. I love the jerseys. And I don't understand why. And I think fans want to go back to 99, 2000 because the team was good then. But that had nothing to do with why they were good.
Let's go to, let's see, Kevin in Sayville. Kevin.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Kev?
I just want to say, Don, I think you are a lunatic, and I love it. I absolutely love it. That guy, Anthony, that novel, yelling at you about it's unbelievable. That's your opinion.
I just didn't like the fact that he told me I don't know anything about the history of baseball, and I turned out to be right. They had pinstripes from the very first game.
Yeah, and he has no idea what he's talking about.
So Kevin has your back. Let's see if Sal in the car has your back. Sally.
So, hey, guys. Don, I normally always agree with you. I'm always on the same page. But with this one, you're completely wrong. And I also feel like what the caller prior to the last caller said was wrong as well. He needs to stop listening to the teams on Twitter. Well, that's the generation that he has to go after. If he wants his business to be successful, if he wants his business to grow, he has to make the fans feel like they're listening. Because I've been to plenty of Met games this year, and, like, I see a lot of youth. I see a lot of kids. I see a lot of young people. And if that's what they want, if that's what they like, if I just spent however many billion dollars on it and I can make some of my money up with that, then it's okay. And like you said earlier, too, when you first started watching baseball, that's the way it was presented. Well, I was born in 94, so my first early memories are when it was in black. And I like it. So, you know, I understand what you're saying, the tradition, because I'm a Celtics fan. But I also hate when they do alternate jerseys and you get gray jerseys that look nothing like the parquet or nothing. It's like foolishness. But black, come on, like, it's not that big of a deal.
No, but it's not their colors. Like I said, I love purple. Does that mean I got now the Mets should have a purple jersey? All right, you like black. I get it. Black could be cool looking, but it's not part of their tradition. They did it as a money grab. And do you think there's one fan that's going to stop being a fan? I'm not even going to stop being a fan of the team when they go to these jerseys. But do you think he's got that's going to help grow his business? Come on, the guy is a billionaire. You think he's losing fans, Michael, by doing this or not doing this? The fact he listens to the fans is great. But not all fans are on Twitter. Not all of them can respond to what he has to say. I bet you if they ran like a traditional poll at the ballpark, it would lose. But on social media, it's going to win because there are a lot of younger fans. And I understand you've got to cater to the younger fans, Michael. But if you're already a Met fan, is this going to stop you from being a Met fan if they don't do this? Come on.
I wouldn't think so. Anthony in Dix Hills. Anthony.
Michael, Don, Peter, what's up, baby?
What up?
So I totally agree with Don on the black jerseys. Even when they were in circulation, nobody wanted them. They all wanted to get rid of them. They changed the walls from black to blue because the black color is just not in the color scheme. Now, how about bring these jerseys back? Bring the off-white, those cream white jerseys back. I love those things.
Like the old school.
The cream off-white.
Yeah, those were my favorite jerseys. It just, you know, they just looked awesome in them.
Again, you want to tweak, but to bring in something that has nothing to do with your franchise.
Nothing.
It represents nothing.
Zero. How's the composition going, Don? We need the composition.
Yeah, are we close to the end
well,
here?
Just, like I said, I added your part. It's like, hey, Steve Cohen, it's Don LaGreca from the Michael K. Show and a lifelong Met fan. I've heard that you're bringing back the black jerseys. I don't get it. The Mets' traditional uniforms are gorgeous and honor the blue and the orange of the National League teams they replaced. And then I have to go to the second one. The black jerseys represent a Wilpons money grab, not what this team is anymore. Now I just need a close. Should I then close with it?
I hope you consider what I'm saying, and if you'd like to discuss it further, we'd love to have you on the air anytime you want.
Well, why don't you add with send me your address, I'll send you some flowers.
Oh, jeez. I know where he lives. We don't have to have his address.
But Don, you don't think that's going a little too sweet there at the end?
I'll just put just my
two cents. You know how you end it? You end it with like what the guy said to Bryce Harper. Do the right thing.
Or you could say this too, Don.
Who was it?
If one Machado. Met player puts on a black jersey, you've lost a lifelong fan.
No, well, see, why am I going to lie? See, I feel like I'm being used here, Peter. I'm not going to.
You are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are. He's orchestrating the whole thing.
No, Don, what are you talking about? You're doing the right thing.
Do the right thing.
He might not listen to this show. He's watching CNBC right now.
But it has to be in my word. This has to come from me. Now, okay. I'm running some things by
like
you just from
so
a subject standpoint.
I like what you've done so far. I think it's strong. I don't know why Peter ripped the ending.
So how about this? Again, the black jerseys represent a Wilpons money grab, not what this team is about anymore. Just my two cents. If you would like.
Okay. While Don's finishing the last words, Michael, do you know how much they want for a Nike authentic baseball jersey right now?
Nike authentic. So a real one. Yep. I'd say, was it 185?
How about the cheapest one I see on MLB Shop is 280. Most of them live in the 350 to 380.
Now, I'm going to tell you, from that information with Peter, Don and I always jump on Yankee fans that have the names in the back, right? Because that's not the Yankee uniform. That's the reason, because the names in the back are reasonably priced. If you get a legitimate Yankee jersey without a name on the back, the way it's supposed to be, the way God meant it to be, it would be that high-priced version.
Right.
There.
So the Yankee, here's the Yankee jerseys right now, the authentic, no name on the back.
Of
DJ
course.
DJ LeMahieu, number 26, pinstripe Yankee jersey, $359.
See, that's why I should back off with the no names on the back. I think if people want to have the names on the back to represent a certain player, then get the blue batting practice jersey. There's no history there. But to wear the pinstripe jersey with the name on the back, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't exist. That piece of clothing does not exist in real life.
Well, it does exist. They're for sale.
No,
well,
it doesn't exist on the field.
I know.
But you don't. Again, you don't have to go to a game and wear a jersey. If you can't afford the jersey, I get it. Then wear a batting practice jersey or wear
or
something
t-shirt.
Else. Don't wear a jersey with the name on the back that is the complete opposite of what this team is about. And the analogy I used to use, Peter, is it'd be like, I can't afford a 10-speed bike to go to work, so I'm going to ride a tricycle. Like, you don't have to ride a bike.
Well, Jerry DeMarco just tweeted this out, and Jerry has a lot of followers, too.
Excuse me.
He said, black is a shade, not a color. Makes it an augmentation to the orange, blue, and white. I'm 64, and I think every team should have a black alternate.
I mean, the shade, not color thing is stupid semantics, but the every team having one is an interesting thought. I just can't believe how expensive these jerseys are. And in my opinion, I know unpopular again, I think I like the Yankee road grays better. And I also
believe... The Met road grays is great.
I also believe, and I know Michael will think this is a Shonda, I believe that the Yankees should have, the road jerseys should have their name on the back. That way you give people the option for the name jerseys. The pin, Tom, what do you think about that?
Yeah,
pinstripes,
you know what? That's a great
never
idea.
Have a name. Road jerseys have a name.
No.
Don, you like it?
What is a Shonda, by the way?
It's like a crime.
Well, it's what the Giants do. The Giants do not have names on the back at home. They have names on the back on the road. I think the Red Sox do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they figure you should know who we are on the field and at home, but on the road, different uniform.
Since we're talking about uniforms, did you see the atrocity that they put together for the All-Star uniform? Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, so Major League Baseball, I think one of the cool parts of the All-Star game, I don't know when you were a kid, Don, if you felt differently, is to see your guy that from your team run on the All-Star field with your team's uniform on. Well, now they've got some homogenized uniform, which, by the way, is so ugly. I can't believe that any graphic artist came up with it and said, yeah, this is what we should look at. You guys have – everybody that's listening, Don and Peter, you have to call it up as well. And Mark Carrig, who's a brilliant writer for The Athletic, came up with an unbelievable line. He said, it's unbelievable that Major League Baseball can't come up with a tacky baseball, but they sure can come up with a tacky All-Star jersey. Yeah, but I mean, well, it's an awful look.
They just don't get it.
You know what? I would usually disagree with a knee-jerk reaction like that, Don, but they don't get what matters to their fans. They don't get what's important to their fans, and they're trying to sell jerseys. Now, you could sell those jerseys, have them wear that during when they're taking BP, have them wear that during the home run derby, but during the game, you should be wearing your team's uniform, either road or away, or road or home. You should. Now they put – and please, Peter – before we get back, or maybe if you have it now, you've got to take a look at the atrocities that they're going to sell.
These red and blue tank tops?
No. It's like it's got a stripe down the side, and like for the Yankees, it says NYY, and then has their pinstripes in the middle of that. And for the Mets, it says NYM.
They're stupid.
Yeah, that's part of what's really cool about the All-Star game, because you can't do it in football, basketball, and hockey, right? Because the things intertwine. You're passing the puck, you're passing the ball or whatever. So it's kind of hard to have everybody wearing a different uniform. But baseball, you can do it, and it's the coolest thing. Because that's how you were able to – you know how proud, like as a young kid I would be in the 70s seeing Lee Mazzilli jog out there at the Kingdome wearing a Met road jersey? Not wearing some generic, come on. Oh, by the way, somebody tweeted me out, replica, 134, Judge, pinstripes, home, no name on the back.
Cool, I like it. Your tweet just went out, Don. I congratulate you. You've done big work for your fan base. I really believe that.
I'll just give him my 2 cents, as you know. And if it gets Steve on, we'd love to have him on. You know, and Mark Roseman, who we talked kindly of yesterday, do I like the Liberty jerseys with the Rangers? No, I don't. I don't like those either. Just some logo they decided to come up with, and it's not their logo.
And I've said this before, and again, I don't think it makes me an old man. The alternate uniforms they came up with in the NBA this year are atrocious, and the Knicks ones are particularly atrocious.
Michael, listen, you don't have to be, you know, just a casual fan. I think there are diehards. I think it takes a couple of minutes when you turn on an NBA game to figure out who's playing.
The second the Knicks took the floor against the Hawks wearing those jerseys, they were going to lose. Second.
But, Michael, they looked like
awful.
The road team.
Yeah.
The Hawks look more like the Knicks than the Knicks did. Yeah. How does that make any sense? And, again, Ryan Hurley, shouldn't owner try to make as much money as he can? Hey, sell whatever you want to sell. You want to sell a black jersey? Go sell a black jersey. You can have any kind of combinations. Michael, they've got Yankee hats that are pink in the pro shop or whatever, right? You go in the merchandise store, you can get a Yankee hat any color. They don't wear them on the field. So make as much money as you want to make. But there is something called tradition. And they actually put thought into that uniform. Whether Peter likes it or not, there was thought. We're going to go pinstripe with the Yankees. We're going to have the blue of the Dodgers. We're going to have the orange of the Giants. And we're going to make this logo. And the logo never changed. Right? That's our logo. That's what we use. And then just decide out of nowhere, everybody's doing black. No creativity.
You know, somebody on Twitter brings up a good point, though, Don. The reason that the Mets using black jerseys are met with derision by many is because they play in the same city as a team that has not changed their uniform forever and doesn't have alternate uniforms. So they're compared to the Yankees. That could be true, too.
But all right, but why does it – it's not exclusive to the Yankees. I mean, Penn State, they never changed their uniform. The Celtics have, but, you know, I think there's some tradition to, you know, this is what we are. And listen, I know the Mets don't have a winning tradition and don't have 27 championships or whatever.
A tradition unlike any other.
But it is a tradition. If you're a Met fan, if you're an old school Met fan, that is the team that you know. That represents the team that you love in your childhood. That means something. A jersey's supposed to mean something, Michael. What did Seinfeld say? We root for the laundry? We don't even do that anymore because the laundry keeps changing. So there's got to be something. There's got that. And do you know a lot of people that represents, that's your team. And it shouldn't be something that's just easily messed with, especially when you know at the time that it was done, Michael, it was a clear money grab. Do you think that was ever done because, oh, we think this will look sharp on television and, you know, the players really like it? No, they figure we'll create another jersey so we can get our fan base to spend more money and buy new jerseys.
I think the players do love it.
Extortion.
Players want black uniforms. They do. Players love it. I mean, even Duke went to a black uniform. It attracts players.
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Mike and Kasho on 98.7, you had a Duke uniform?
I had the Duke authentic shorts when I was in high school. This is before I truly hated them when I got to Maryland.
Because you couldn't get in and you actually, you know,
the shorts were so fire. I wish I still had them. My old authentic shorts collection was something. Carolina white
Tar Heel blue, though, is very nice.
I had the white and blue Carolina authentic shorts, Don.
I still have
jersey
shorts
with the paisley on the side. There's nothing better.
No, by the way, but Carolina's done some dumb things to their jersey, too.
I know. It's all about money. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The tweet is out. Let's see if Steve Cohen responds. Well, we're right here. We're on Yes, and we're on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. So the Yankees win 8-1. They head to Fenway tomorrow night, Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon. We'll have both games on Yes Friday and Sunday. Saturday game is Fox. I'm surprised ESPN didn't take the Sunday game. They originally had it, then they turned it down. So maybe the Yankees, flat period there where they decided they weren't going to televise that game. So we're glad that we have it on Yes. But I just want to go back to something that happened yesterday. I don't know how much everybody was engaged in what happened. Yankees have a one-run lead going into the ninth inning. There's first and third and two men out. Chapman's in there, and Carlos Santana is at the plate. Veteran hitter, very good hitter. And on deck is Sebastian Rivero, who had to come into the game because Salvador Perez got hurt with a foul ball up against the mask earlier in the game. Rivero had never had a hit in the major leagues, ever. Rookie, 22 years old. So Aaron Boone goes out to the mound and has this long conversation with Chapman. Then he walks back. And at that point, Sanchez walks back behind the plate. Then there's a whistle from the dugout. And the dugout signals walk Santana. David Cohen was brilliant on this because he said, this is not a good idea. He said, it's the right move, you know, bypassing Santana and pitching to the kid. It's not the right move with Chapman, though, because he doesn't throw strikes when the bases are loaded. But somewhere between when Aaron Boone was on the mound and when he got back to the dugout, so what is that, 150 feet, he changed his mind because when he left the mound, they were pitching to Santana. Well, then they walked him after he said he changed his mind in the dugout. Really bad look, by the way, because you've already had this talk with your pitcher who expressed a desire to pitch to Santana and not load the bases. Well, four pitches later, the game is tied. And then the next batter hits a slow ground ball, a check swing to third base. The go-ahead run goes and scores. Now, he ends up getting the third out, but now the Yankees are down 5-4. I don't know if you guys saw this. I have never seen Chapman this angry.
Yeah, they just showed it on Yes.
I mean, Donnie lost it. He didn't act like that when he gave up the home run to Altuve that ended the season.
That's right.
You mean when he laughed?
Well, he kind of like, you know, that awkward grin, but he didn't go nuts. He went nuts. And Boone said today that they've talked it out and they're in a good place, but that's not a good look. I don't know what changed Aaron's mind from the field to the dugout, or if somebody changed his mind, which is something that you really have to consider too. But you talked it out with the guy and you decided you were pitching to Santana. Now, I actually thought walking Santana was the right move, so I'm not questioning the ultimate move that they made. And I'm sorry, Chapman should be a good enough pitcher that he doesn't have to walk a guy because the bases are loaded. You are a closer. You're going to come into those situations. You can't get a triple play every time you're out there. But that's just that's a really uncomfortable thing that happened. He gave up a World Series home run to Rajay Davis. He didn't act like that. He gave up the home run to Altuve. He didn't act like that. He gave up the home run to Brasseau last year. Didn't act like that. But look at the way he acted yesterday. That's something to watch now moving forward between Aaron Boone and Chapman, because Chapman wanted no part of loading the bases to pitch to a rookie. None. All four pitches, Don, I don't know if you saw it live, all four pitches, none of them came close.
He allowed his emotions to get the better of him. Because, you know, you're going to give up home runs, you're going to be bested by your opponent. He looked like he was angered because he was not, either felt like he got showed up by his manager or was in firm disagreement with the decision. And I don't know, it doesn't sound like Boone would run from it and say one thing to him and then change his mind in the dugout. But that's what it kind of comes across.
Or did somebody change Boone's mind?
Well, that's not good, because why should somebody be changing his mind? I mean, he discussed it with his pitcher. They decided one thing, and then the walk to the dugout, he decides to go in the opposite direction. He was either talked out of it, which can't happen, or it's like, all right, well, now that I'm in the dugout away from him, I'm going to do what I want to do. Either convince the pitcher what has to happen, or don't. But don't change your mind after it's already been decided when you were with them. I think really angered them.
They rebounded enough to win today 8-1. Again, Gary Sanchez is absolutely on fire. His last 23 games, he had two more hits today, so he's 25 for 74 with 8 home runs and 18 runs batted in. What a turnaround. He's going to go from being benched to climbing out of the doldrums to being the player of the month to being an all-star player. He really is. Last 23 games, he's hitting .338. He has 7 home runs in the last 13 games. Completely different player. Unbelievable.
It's wild.
Yeah, like, it's like he's a different guy, Peter. Different guy. Well, that's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Now, a lot of people expected me today to come here and rip Islander fans for the way that game ended yesterday, and they threw things on the ice.
People did expect that out of you.
They did. They did, because they know that I'm kind of like the, you know, law and order candidate. Listen, is it the right thing to do? No, but people are going to people. I wouldn't throw anything on the ice. I don't understand why people do it. It was a very emotional time. It was an incredible game that they won in overtime to force a game 7. Would I throw, like, tall boys on the floor, on the ice? No, you could injure your own players. But listen, I'm done with, like, criticizing. People are going to do what they want to do. Well, I wouldn't do it. All I would say is I wouldn't do it. I don't know why anybody would do it. Even if I'm caught up in the emotion, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I don't agree with it either, but you know, we had Alan Hahn on earlier, and he's like, you know, being there, it was part of just the celebration. He thought it was great.
So you know, civic unrest is part of the celebration.
That's right.
I mean, nobody was really in any kind of, you know, mortal danger. It wasn't like they were throwing it at the opponent. I think it was just celebratory. It's not the way that I would celebrate, but he said he was there, caught up in the emotion. And you know how people are. People are followers, not leaders. You get a few people that do it, and then everybody thinks it's okay to do it. Game's over, so you're not worried about getting thrown out. But it came from a positive place, I guess, as negative as it looked. And, you know, Eddie O ripped it as soon as it happened. It's like, what are they doing? They can endanger the players. This is ridiculous. How do you celebrate that? But, you know, Alan Hahn was there. He grew up an Islander fan. He covered the team, and it just made sense at that particular moment. I don't think it should diminish what was accomplished on the ice.
Nope. That was,
you know, it was
unbelievable.
A great game, and I think it came from a place of just emotion. They were euphoric over, you know, and how it happened. I mean, you were caught up. I'm trying to remember the timing of everything. I think the Yankee game was still going on or just ended. But that's the amazing thing about overtime hockey, is that one second you think, you know, you're okay. Tampa's got it, and they're about to clear it. And a split second later, you know, the goal is scored. You go from nervousness to euphoria in a split second. And it was a game that they were losing, Michael. They were down 2-0. The game was over. Tampa does not blow 2-0 leads. The team that scored first has won every game in this series. The Lightning were 11-1 when scoring first. And then Eberle scores right after they made it 2-0. And then the Mayfield goal midway through the third tied it. And a game that looked like it was completely lost halfway through. Now all of a sudden you got a game seven. And now they believe. Hey, if they can come back from 2-0 down, Michael, allowing 12 consecutive goals. Think about that. From the third period of game four till midway through the second period of game six, they had allowed 12 consecutive goals. Series is over. They're done. If they go into the second intermission, game over. And they ended up winning the contest, and now they believe. And now they can, maybe they think they can beat Tampa twice. They did this. Why can't they do that?
Before we go to break, I want to remind you that our kids lost sports in 2020. For some, it was lost for months. For many, youth sports are now only returning in full. Thankfully, for many young athletes, the lessons of sports continued. Thousands of volunteer coaches made sure that even though their young athletes weren't on the ball field, court, or track, they were still exercising their other muscles built by sports. Teamwork, connection, goal setting, growing from failure, and learning from victory. This year, we'd like to honor the volunteers who kept coaching even while their teams couldn't compete. To celebrate the return of youth sports and to honor the volunteers who made it more meaningful than it's ever been, 98.7 ESPN and our friends at ABC7 will award an honorary ESPY to one special volunteer coach who has gone above and beyond in their community. So please go to ABC7, that's the number 7, ABC7NY.com. Click the link to nominate a local volunteer and fill out the form. Entries must be submitted by 6 p.m. on Sunday, June 27, 2021. One honorary ESPY Award winner will be officially announced on Thursday, July 8th on ABC7 and also right here on 98.7 ESPN. And be sure to tune in to the ESPYs presented by Capital One on Saturday, July 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern, hosted by Anthony Mackie on ABC. When we come back, the big fella, will join us. Then we have ENN after that. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.